think like many people, I've been observing what's happening in Egypt. And watching with great admiration a mass movement of even up to hundreds of thousands of people without that group basically generating violence. So today's events are disturbing to read about and to see the videos of. And it goes along with something that I was thinking about today. We talk about imperturbability. I've talked about this, I think, once in a focused way before. The imperturbability of our composure. Not just when we sit zazen, but in our lives. And the importance of it, really. And I wanted to talk a little about that tonight. When I looked up the etymology of the word perturb, I found that the second syllable. Thank you. The second syllable goes back to disturb. So disturbance, disorder, and confusion. When we are perturbed, if we just follow it in a etymological way, we are disturbed. And also something is disordered. And also something is confused. And if you think about your own experience, because we're all very experienced at being perturbed. We're very good at it. It's one of our skills. We really know how to be perturbed. We even confuse it for absolute truth. I know friends who feel that because they feel strongly about something, it must be true. They actually believe that. No amount of discussion of the difference between objectivity and subjectivity will ever convince them of the fallacy in their thinking, because their feeling is so strong about it. And we know this is the basis of a kind of fundamentalism as well. Even in a dinner conversation, people could become fundamentalists like that if you just hit the right topic. My bumper sticker says, put the fun back in fundamentalism. Or at least put the mental back in. Do something. But fun mental is, that's really good. Then you're just left with duh. Which is at the center of fundamentalism. If you look, you know, carefully, lovingly, humorously.
That's quite the riff, Peter.
Yeah, it's nice to not know what you're going to say. It's too bad that's not the subject of my talk. Because then I could just, you know, say thank you very much. I'm sure somebody will put it on Family Guy or something like that. But if you think about when you're perturbed, of course it's obvious to say that there's a disturbance. You're upset. We get upset when we're perturbed. Upset means that we were set, and now we're not anymore. Mm-hmm. We're upset. Mm-hmm. We're downset. Mm-hmm. But we're not in that stable place anymore. Then comes the sense of being disordered. When we're perturbed, our sense of internal order is turned over. We lose the sense of stability, a another word for order is stability. When we when things become disordered, we lose the stability. So first we were set, now we're upset. Then we were stable, now we're unstable. And think about when you're perturbed. Even if you're perturbed for a very good reason, you're actually losing your ground. You're really losing your ground. Mm-hmm. You don't know it because the power of the emotion feels like a ground, but it's actually not a ground. By definition, it's the opposite of a ground. But it's so powerful that it convinces us, or we use it to convince ourselves, that this is really the ground. That's what I was talking about before. People who sometimes feel that simply because they feel something strongly, it must be true. But we should know this about ourselves. Very important to know this about ourselves. And then comes confusion, of course, when you lose your ground like that, when you move from being in a stable, a solid place, to a sort of disordered place, it's very easy to become confused. Find ourselves saying and doing things that we couldn't possibly justify otherwise. So this is when we are perturbed, we're in a perturbable state. In the Heart Sutra, we just chanted free from confusion. Those who lead all to liberation embody profound serenity. That's nice in light of what I'm talking about, isn't it? Free from confusion. Free from perturbability. Free from losing your ground. Those who lead all to liberation embody profound serenity. So the opposite of perturbable is serenity. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. That's quite nice, isn't it? It isn't imperturbable, which sounds sort of, you know, cold and like you can't touch it. It's actually, there's a kind of serenity to it. And that is, those are poles that we sort of bounce between, although very few people, I think, would say, oh yes, I have, you know, true serenity. Very few people would say that. Which is a good thing, that they would not say it, since it isn't true. Better to say, sometimes I feel pretty good, and then to pretend. Because then it means we know we still have to work on the perturbability of our emotions, the perturbability in our lives. Now, when we sit zazen, the mind, or feelings, or bodily sensations, the five skandhas basically, just act the way they act. And we have a method by which we seek to no longer be perturbed by thought, by feeling, by bodily sensation, by what we perceive, you know, any of that material that helps to make up a human being. We come back to our breath. It's important to notice, I think, that we come back to our breath as the means of reestablishing our ground, reestablishing the set point, reestablishing the stability, and leaving confusion behind. So there was something about the breath that, remember what I said about the Heart Sutra? There's something about the breath that connects directly to serenity. Just directly. Come back to the breath, serenity. We can actually experience it. As if that soft, gentle release alone is all it takes for us to reestablish our serene, not just ground, but nature. Our serene nature. I know that we've talked about it before, and probably you know it from other places, but sort of fairly well accepted definition of the word sin is distance from the source. Not like doing a bad thing. Distance from oneness. Distance from the source. Perturbability is activated distance from the source. It isn't just being sort of lost. It's really activated. And the source, as I'm defining it now, is our serene, true nature. So we're leaving our nature when we become perturbed. We can actually care about things deeply. We can actually care about saving all beings deeply. We can actually care about justice. We can care about our sisters and brothers. We can care about the planet. We can care about the lives of all beings without being perturbed. And in fact, it's my feeling that when we allow ourselves to care in a way that does not disturb our serenity, we are actually caring, free from our own confusion, free from our own disturbance, free from our own disordered way of perceiving the situation. In other words, free from those things that blind us to what's actually going on. When we're perturbed, often we see other. We create other out of that perturbance. Is that a word, perturbance? Yeah, perturbation. We could say anything. We create other. We tend to see in a dualistic manner when we are perturbed about something or someone or some situation. We just do that because the ego state gets riled up. We are actually less useful in that moment to a situation that may need us, like what's going on in Egypt right now, where people need to have their clarity, where they need to not be confused, where they need to not be to lose their ground, where they need to maintain a serene heart in the name of their liberation, despite what appears to be pretty serious provocation. If that serenity can be held to, as Gandhi showed when he marched, I mean, when Martin Luther King marched, when Thich Nhat Hanh refused to make either the South or the North his enemy, despite what they were doing. So we have good models. If we can come back to our serene, true nature, release the perturbation on our breath, even for one moment, we have slid right into our nature as we were made to be. And we can actually do something useful for a situation. So we get to care. We get to love. We get to want justice. We get to want freedom. We can support all of that movement in the world without adding confusion to the situation, in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we disagree with people who disagree with us. We can do all of that by coming back to this very wonderful, serene, and beautiful nature that we were born as, not born with, born as. Mm-hmm. It is what we are. Mm-hmm. And so we should know. When you find yourself being perturbed at home or at work, and there's no lack of stimulus for being perturbed. This is a tough little paradise we live in, this world. Plenty of motivation for getting upset. Try to come back to yourself as quickly as you can. Practice. Make it your practice. Because this is part of the Bodhisattva vow. How can we ever hope to live the Bodhisattva vow without this? I don't think it's possible. So that's what I want to say. That's my political announcement for the day. My hope to remind you that our practice takes place right in the middle of hell, when hell decides to arise. And it is the right medicine for it. So thank you all for practicing deeply.